This is the last day of this October 2008 seven-day session. And we'll take up another koan in the Shoyoroku, the Book of Serenity. And this is number 7, Yaoshan Ascends the Seat. Here's how it goes. Yaoshan hadn't ascended the seat for a long time. The head monk said, "The monks have been waiting for instruction for a while now. Won't you please give a talk?" Yaoshan ordered the bell and drum to be struck. The assembly gathered. Yaoshan ascended the seat, and after sitting there for a while, he descended and returned to his room. The head monk followed him and asked, "You agreed to give a talk. Why didn't you say anything?" Yaoshan said, "For sutras, there are sutra specialists. For shastras, there are shastra specialists. Why do you wonder at this old monk?" And we do have some rich material on this Yaoshan. We'll be reading here from Zen's Chinese Heritage by Andy Ferguson. His dates are 751 to 834, which places him squarely in the great Tang Dynasty. He left home at the age of 17 to enter the monastery of a certain Zen master. Later, a Vinaya master ordained him. Vinaya is that, used to be a big, big school of Buddhism, different from Zen, but it's the school, it was the school that emphasized a mastery of the Buddhist monastic rules and regulations. And such monks would make their practice would be precepts and the other monastic regulations, and the idea being if you could uphold them well enough that you would be living a life in harmony with the way. And there are lots of them, but 200 and some at that time, 200 and some monastic rules and regulations. So it was no small thing. And this big school developed where this was the core practice. It says here, he was an earnest student, and he mastered the sutras and shastras and strictly adhered to the Vinaya rules. Now the sutras we know, these are mostly, not all of them, but most of them are the purported words of Shakyamuni Buddha. But then later there were other great works that came to be called sutras, like the Platform Sutra and the Vimalakirti Sutra. But most of them are attributed to the Buddha. The shastras are the treatises on Buddhist doctrine and philosophy. So in a way, the sutras were sort of the original teaching. And then the shastras were by later masters who interpreted the different aspects of Buddhist teaching, the Buddha's teaching, in philosophical terms. And so apparently that was the Vinaya, master that he trained under, included some study of the sutras and shastras. But anyway, eventually Yaoshang grew tired of the repetitive and petty observances of the Vinaya and resolved to find a new teacher. So first he went to Shertao. Shertao was a contemporary of Mazu. Mazu, many of you will know that name, and the Japanese version is Basso. He had the way I always remember it, he was credited with having 139 enlightened disciples. But Shertao was of the same stature, certainly practically the same stature. There was a saying at the time that Mazu and Shertao divided the world between them. But first Yaoshan went to this Shertao's place. And he said, "I have a general understanding of the three vehicles and the 12 divisions of sutras. Now I want to find out about the southern teaching of pointing directly at mind, seeing the self nature, and becoming a Buddha. Truly, I'm not clear about this teaching, and I ask for the Master's compassionate instruction." Just a little context here. The Chan school was the new kid on the block. A long, long time that the sutras and the shastras and the Vinaya had been established as a basic pillars of Chinese Buddhism. And then this bold new teaching started by Bodhidharma came along that taught that you just had to point directly at mind in order to see the self nature and become a Buddha. It's not a matter of just gradually struggling up the ladder of karma, evolving for over thousands of lifetimes until you become a Buddha. The Zen tradition, we teach that because we have always been Buddha, it's just a matter of opening our eyes. This was a radical teaching at the time, and not without controversy. Well, Yaoshan must have been intrigued. He knew about this, and here he comes and says, "I'm not clear about this teaching. Please teach me." And Shertao said, "You can't attain it this way. You can't attain it not this way. Trying to attain it this way or not this way, it can't be attained. So what will you do?" Yaoshan was confused. Shertao then said, "You do not have an affinity with this place. Go to Master Mazu's place." So Yaoshan went off and came to Mazu's place, paid his respects to him in accordance with Shudao's instructions, and then he posed the same question to Mazu that he had previously presented to Shudao. And Mazu said, "Sometimes I teach it by raising my eyebrows and blinking my eyes. Sometimes I don't teach it by raising my eyebrows and blinking my eyes. Sometimes raising my eyebrows and blinking my eyes is it. Sometimes raising my eyebrows and blinking my eyes isn't it. So what will you do?" You know, this is a guy standing before him who had made his career thus far, a study of these all of these texts, and suddenly he's having all this thrown at him. He doesn't know how to process this. And that was what did it, because at these words, Yao Shan was enlightened. He couldn't process it. It was beyond what he could make of it intellectually. I think it's probably no coincidence that both Shi Dao and Ma Zu posed these quite similar statements when approached by Yao Shan. Both of these, there's a similar flavor to them, isn't it? It's both of them are confounding and are not anything that one can grasp with one's rational mind. Now, what these accounts never tell us is the condition of the student's mind, in this case, Yao Shan. But the fact that at these words of Ma Zu that he came to enlightenment, we know for certain that his mind must have been empty at the time. He had nothing in the mind. His mind was like a white sheet of paper, pure, clear, wide open. Not clouded by any of the knowledge that he had gathered in his years of study. It must have been, because that is the precondition of awakening, an empty mind. Shi Tao saw it when Yao Shan approached him. But maybe there was still some slight conceptual clinging in the mind still of Yao Shan. But by the time he got to Ma Zu, and who knows, this may have been after weeks, months of trekking halfway across China, there was plenty of time, no doubt, for him to be pondering and wondering about what Shi Tao had said. So that by the time he got to Ma Zu, the last traces of intellectualization perhaps had been scoured from the mind. And Ma Zu was able to finish the work that Shi Tao began. So Yao Shan was awakened. He then bowed to Ma Zu. And Ma Zu said, "What principle have you observed that makes you bow?" So in other words, what is your understanding here? Yao Shan said, "When I was at Shi Tao's place, it was like a mosquito on an iron bowl." Now, something about that, or maybe the way he said it, that's the other thing that we can't know because we weren't there, is the way these statements and questions are delivered. But whatever it was, Ma Zu said, "Since you are thus, uphold and sustain it well." In other words, he acknowledged Yao Shan's realization. Koans, or these dialogues, many of the dialogues are become koans. These dialogues can sound flat because they're so spare. We're just given the bones of what happened. And in the case of koans, then it's the student's job to flesh out these dialogues by presenting them as real, as alive, as present, not just stories from the past. Yao Shan then served as Madzu's attendant for 3 years. One day, Madzu asked him, "What have you seen lately?" Yao Shan said, "Shedding the skin completely, leaving only the true body." Madzu said, "Your attainment can be said to be in accord with the mind-body, spreading through its four limbs. Since it's like this, you should bind your things to your stomach and go traveling to other mountains." So now Madzu feels that he's been there long enough and it's time for him to go off and visit other teachers. Bind your things to your stomach. It was some kind of a pack that they can would carry their robes and bowls, robe and bowl. And Yao Shan seems to have misunderstood him, because as he says, "Who am I to speak of being head of a Zen mountain?" And Madzu said, "That's not what I mean. Those who haven't gone on a long pilgrimage can't reside as an abbot. There's no advantage to seeking advantage." That's a good line, isn't it? There's no advantage to seeking advantage. It's something to remember late in Sesshin. Nothing is accomplished by seeking something. You should go on a journey and not remain in this place. So Madzu seems to have been to be saying there that when he says those who haven't gone on a long pilgrimage can't reside as an abbot, maybe he had designs that would have Yao Shan succeed him as the abbot there of his temple. Anyway, Yao Shan left Madzu and returned to Shidao. One day, as Yao Shan was sitting, Shidao asked him, "What are you doing here?" Yao Shan said, "I'm not doing a thing." Shidao said, "Then you're just sitting leisurely." Yao Shan said, "If I were sitting leisurely, I'd be doing something." Shidao said, "You say you're not doing anything. What is it that you're not doing?" And this is a classic Dharma dueling. Yao Shan said, "A thousand sages don't know." And then to that response of Yao Shan, Shido said, he wrote a verse, "Long abiding together, not knowing its name, just going on, practicing like this, since ancient times the sages don't know. Will searching everywhere now make it known?" Such respect in our school, the Zen tradition, for not knowing, because it's from a position of not knowing that understanding comes. Socrates said it. All wisdom begins in wonder. These are the most famous words of our own founder, Bodhidharma, when he was asked by the emperor, "Well, who are you? Who's standing before me?" He said, "I don't know." Nor do those geese, but they do just fine. Later, Chouteau offered an instruction saying, "Words do not encroach upon it." Yaoshan said, "No words does not encroach upon it." Chouteau said, "Here I can't stick a needle into it." Yaoshan said, "Here it's like I'm growing flowers on a bare rock." Chouteau approved Yaoshan's answer. Later, the master lived on Mount Yao, and a sea of students assembled there. Here's another dialogue. A monk said to Yaoshan, "I have doubt. I ask for the master to resolve it for me." Yaoshan said, "Wait until I go into the hall tonight to speak, then I'll resolve it." That evening, Yaoshan entered the hall. When the assembly was ready, he said, "Where is the monk who asked me today to resolve his doubt?" The monk came forward and stood there. Yaoshan got down from the Dharma seat, grabbed the monk, and said, "Everyone, this monk has doubt." Yaoshan then released the monk and went back to his room. Later, Xuanzha, another great Zen master, said, "Do you say he resolved the monk's doubt or not? If he resolved it, where was it resolved? If he didn't resolve it, then say whether your own doubts were resolved when he went into the hall." No one can resolve someone else's doubt. The most we can do is say or do something that will enable another person to find her or his way to resolving her own doubt. One more here. Yaoshan asked a monk who had just arrived at the temple, "Where do you come from?" The monk said, "From Hunan province." Yaoshan then asked, "Is Dongting Lake full or not?" The monk said, "It's not full." Yaoshan said, "There's been a lot of rain lately. Why isn't it full?" The monk didn't answer. Later, Da Wu, a later master, said, "It's full." These are the later masters commenting on that exchange. So Da Wu said, "It's full." Yunyan said, "Clear, deep earth." And then finally Dongshan said, "In what eon was it ever lacking?" Oh, and then Yunmen said, "It's here. It's here." then in the second month of the year, 834, Zen Master Yaoshang called out, "The Dharma Hall is collapsing! The Dharma Hall is collapsing!" The monks all grabbed poles and tried to prop up the Dharma Hall. Yaoshang lifted his hand and said, "You don't understand what I mean," and passed away. He was 84 years old and had been a monk for 60 years. His disciples built his memorial stupa on the east side of the hall. Now back to the koan. Yaoshan ascends the seat. Yaoshan hadn't ascended the seat for a long time. Why might that have been? I don't think it's giving much away in this koan to assume that Yaoshan was quite old at this time. Roshi Kaplow, as he got into his 80s, gave fewer talks and then gradually stopped giving teishos. It happens. It's called impermanence. And the head monk went to him and said, "The monks have been waiting for instruction for a while now. Won't you please give a talk?" Yaoshan ordered the bell and drum to be struck. So here it would be the han to be played, what we do before teisho. The assembly gathered. Yaoshan ascended the seat, and after sitting there for a while, he descended and returned to his room. Let's just pause here and take stock of this. A later master, Yung Chia, said, "Speaking when silent, silent when speaking. The gate of great generosity opens with nothing blocking the way." This was after a while, a long time, it said, a long time he hadn't given a talk. And then he does this. Another master commented this way, "Nowadays, many people take the Dharma lightly. I would be like a farmer who lets the fields dry from time to time to make them parched and thirsty. After that, when water is poured on, then the crops sprout." You know, Yaoshan is in good company. The Buddha himself once did a similar thing. Strange force of nature that operates sometimes, where things that were here a minute ago on this small table still disappear. Well, it's a koan itself, where the Buddha goes. Gets up in his seat and remains seated there. And while he's still sitting, the head monk says, "The world-honored one has proclaimed the Dharma. The Dharma is proclaimed this way," something like that. Well, this Yaoshan's head monk missed it, so he followed him out, and you can see him there saying, "Well, you agreed to give a talk. I promised them all that you'd be giving a talk. They all came here. Why didn't you say anything?" And Yaoshan said, "For sutras, there are sutra specialists. For shastras, there are shastra specialists. Why do you wonder at this old monk?" Remember, Yaoshan himself had become a specialist in both sutras and shastras and had left it behind. It'd be like spending someone who went to a restaurant and sat down and read over the menu. Let's say it's a very long menu, hundreds of volumes of menu, and read and read and read, and the hours passed, and more hours and hours, and finally closes the menu and is ready to eat. Andy Ferguson translates this last line differently, where we have it in our book is, "Why do you wonder at this old monk?" Andy Ferguson makes it, "Why are you unhappy with this old monk?" One of these old masters who offers commentary in the Shoryuroku said this: "When the congregation gathered, how could they know the stars would blaze with glory?" There's a koan in the Mumonkan where a non-Buddhist asked the Buddha, "I don't ask for words, I don't ask for silence." And the world-honored monk just remained silent. This visitor then bowed and said, "The world-honored one's great compassion has opened the clouds of my illusion and allowed me to gain insight." After he had left, Ananda, who was nearby — Ananda was the Buddha's attendant, secretary — Ananda asked the Buddha, At this point, Ananda hadn't had any enlightenment. He asked the Buddha, what truth did he see that he said he had gained insight? And to which the Buddha said, a first-class horse moves at even the shadow of the whip. And to this master who whose offers commentary in the Shoryuroku, he says, we might say that patch robe monks in China are not as good as outsiders in India. In other words, Buddhist monks in China are not as good as non-Buddhists in India. And then he refers to another master's verse about that would apply to this. This other master, Tian Tong, said, a foolish child troubles over money used to stop crying. A good steed chases the wind, looking back at the shadow of the whip. Clouds sweep the eternal sky, nesting in the moon, the crane. The cold clarity gets into his bones. He can't go to sleep. And this verse itself is refers back to this thing about the child and the money. A sutra says that when a child cries, its mother takes yellow leaves and says, I'll give you some gold. And at that, the child stops crying. Do you see the connection here with Yao Shan's just sitting for a while? To go back to this comment by the Shoryuroku master, so we might say that Buddhist monks in China are not as good as non-Buddhists in India. It's just because you are sound asleep and not yet awakened. That is, that you don't recognize Yao Shan's demonstration for what it is. Those whose sleep is light will wake up as soon as they're called. Those who are deep asleep can only be roused by shaking them. There is yet another kind who, when you grab them and stand them up like dead trees, they still talk in their sleep by themselves, staring. What do you want from me, Yao Shan seems to be saying. If you want to hear lectures on the sutras, go to one of them. For discourses on the shastras, well, you'll find them too. I'm just an old man. An old man specialist. Fully, completely, an old man sitting here. Our time is up. We'll stop and recite the four vows.